This is NHL Radio. Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman, along with Bill Clement, we're coming to you live and in our entirety from the NHL store powered by Reebok in Manhattan. Call-in number, for those of you who'd like to chat with us, is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. We'll take your calls. We'll be joined later by Brendan Shanahan, forward for the New Jersey Devils. And that's what we'll do for the next hour.
It's all good.
I think it's all good.
May I commend you on your level of physical conditioning?
Why is that?
Well, you have to climb stairs before you come in, and today you got here as the music was playing and sat down and read, and you don't sound like you're out of breath. So
it's not that many steps, Bill. Did you get huffy and puffy coming up the steps?
Still out of breath.
Really?
No, I don't get huffy and puffy, but I mean, you came on the sprint a little bit. Okay, you're not. Are you in good shape?
I hope so.
What do you do? What do you do to work out?
Based on some of the blogs I read, I think there are people that are wishing I weren't. But no, I work out a few times a week with a trainer, and I run. And
treadmill or outside?
No, I hate running on a treadmill.
Yeah, me too.
I just put me on the streets. I mean, obviously, you can't do it in Manhattan, but where I live, you get to run the countryside.
Yeah,
which is good.
What time do you get a start on that? Around 5:30, 6 a.m., 7 a.m.?
It's got to be light out. I'm not a big fan of running in the dark, you know? What about you?
Just found out I have bone on bone in my right knee, so my jogging career ended 3 weeks ago.
I'm sorry to hear
Thank
that.
Thank you. So was I, to be honest with you.
So what are you going to do? You know, eating is not a form of exercise.
No, it isn't. Well, I can work up my upper body, but I had my first injection of something called Synvisc. It's that lubricant put in your knee, and I've got two more to go. And we're trying to ward off the inevitable, which is a knee replacement in however many years.
How old are you now?
old enough, not old enough for a knee replacement.
Are you older
58.
I'm 58. You're a tad older than me.
Yeah, 58.
You know, my birthday's coming soon. I'm going to be 57 before you know it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, when should we send the gifts and the cards?
No gifts, no cards. But the point is, when you get to our age...
Danny, Wikipedia the commissioner, will you please?
No. When you get to be our age, things start to hurt, and they don't work as well as they used to.
Well, I've always said that I know Father Time is going to win the race. I just try to delay the loss as long as I can.
Speaking of injuries, you know, you and I, as relatively young old men, complaining about things that hurt. I had my knee scoped 8-9 years ago, and it still doesn't work right. I've had my elbow injected in the last month. It's not a woe is me, but when you marvel at the way our players play in the playoffs and play injured. Phil Kessel just underwent shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. I need my mouth operated on. Tom Pote and John Erskine playing with broken bones in their feet. I mean, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
The way that our players play, particularly in the playoffs, unheard of in any other sport, what they put themselves through night in and night out, particularly during the playoffs, it is an absolute remarkable testament to their commitment to winning and professionalism.
Yeah, and commitment to one another. When you see your teammates walking out of the locker room, heading to the ice without you, it's one of the great empty feelings you can have. And there's something to be said for the raising of the pain threshold just by virtue of the fact that you realize you're not a part of what's going on as long as you're not playing.
You know, I think that's part of it, but that would be a little more selfward or inward looking than saying that you're part of a team and you want to do everything to help your team win. And I think there's more of that than the former.
Well, I think we're talking about the same thing.
Okay.
You know, when you see that void, wanting to be a part of that, what is going on with the group, and feeling that there's it's just incomplete unless you're being part of it. Believe me, when a team wins and you're not in the lineup, big deal. I mean, you're happy, but it doesn't feel like it does when you're in the lineup.
Well, although my guess is when your team loses and you're not in the lineup,
same thing,
you feel worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you felt you could have contributed.
Yep.
Speaking of contributions, how about these playoffs again?
Oh.
For excitement, for suspense, for entertainment, for seeing stars playing like stars.
You know, game 7s.
Game 7s or even game 2, oh, Chicago,
yeah.
Detroit.
No, really. Yeah.
That overtime game, terrific.
I just hope we haven't peaked too soon.
Oh, why did you say that? Did you
No, I just want more.
I don't want you jinxing it.
I don't have the power to jinx anybody. They're going to be good, and regardless of what happens in the conference finals, you heard it here. The Stanley Cup final will go 7 games this year.
How do you know that?
I just know.
Oh, really?
Cuz I used to have ESPN. But I don't have ESPN any longer.
Do you think I'm supposed to think that joke is funny?
No. You of all people, probably not.
You know?
Probably not. I just have a feeling that it's going to go 7 games.
Well, let's talk about this round first. Carolina is at Pittsburgh tonight for game 2, and they're looking to square their series. And tomorrow night, the Blackhawks return to the United Center to see if they can use home ice to solve, although that's too strong a word, the Detroit Red Wings. They were pretty close to taking that game. So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we're in for a pretty interesting series there as well. That's all good. It is a good time for sport. I'm not going to shy away from talking about Phoenix for a couple of seconds, and then we'll take calls. It's unfortunate that it's a little bit of a distraction, although I think most fans aren't particularly interested in what's happening in those machinations. I think most fans are more focused on what's taking place,
sure,
on the ice, and that's where the attention should be.
It's a story for a couple of days, but it's down the page.
It is, and you know.
And in people's minds, it's down the page. Not to diminish what the people in Phoenix are going to have to go, fans, etc., but the playoffs are where
it's where it's at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, to the extent it is a distraction, we didn't start it. We didn't cause it. I apologize for it because I'm not a big fan of distractions. And at the end of the day, you know, we'll have to resolve these things through the courts. I do think it's fair for me to reiterate that this is not about Ontario or Hamilton or Canada. This is about league rules, and every sports league's got to have them. And the two most important issues for any sports league are who owns your franchises and where they're located. And anybody who's suggesting the issue is beyond that doesn't understand the way leagues work and doesn't understand me, quite frankly. And, you know, efforts to vilify the league or even me, you know, are silly. It doesn't have any impact, and it really is misleading people in terms of what's really going on here.
Our phone number is 877-645-6696, 877-645-6696. If you have a question for the commissioner, now's the time to get in line because it is forming rapidly.
There is a long line, so should we go
to
the phones?
Fire away. Go for it.
Let's talk to Paul in Toronto. Paul, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's kind of funny. I did hear your last comment there because I did call up the chat just briefly about a second team in Ontario. But I first wanted to commend you because I really do appreciate how accessible you make yourself to the fans. You know, I really look forward to sitting in my car, driving home on a Thursday afternoon and getting to listen to you. So the issue that I got is I coach a team of 7-year-olds in hockey, the best of the best. They play all year round. They play summer. And, you know, I had 16 of them. Do you know how many have been able to go to an NHL game? Two out of 16, and these guys are passionate about hockey. The reason they can't go is because, you know what, you can't get tickets. In Toronto, the NHL game is not about the fan. It's about the businessman. I'm fortunate enough that I get to go to games, but it's on business. And, you know, the solution, you know, we go to junior games and we see some great hockey. You know, we see the stars before they become your stars, if you will. I got 14 guys that want to go to hockey games. They want to go see the Ovechkins of the world. They're the guys that are buying your jerseys, right? They're the guys that are trying to be Crosby in the driveway, and they can't go because we can't get tickets. And I understand it's a business, and I understand. I totally agree with you that, you know, there's legal ramifications, and you got to protect your owners. Gary, I totally understand that, and I totally agree with that. But tell me what I'm supposed to say to my 7-year-old that I can't take to a game because I can't get tickets, and we can't get a second team in Ontario. And you know what? I'll hang up, and I'll listen to you. And again, I appreciate the time on the phone, and you got a phenomenal product on the ice. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your thoughtful comments. It's really two different issues. You know, it's interesting because over the years we've been criticized for expanding to too many places and having too many teams, and there have been people over the years who have said that we've diluted the product. I don't believe that, by the way, and looking at what's going on the ice, we clearly refute that notion.
Those are people that don't follow the game closely.
We play everywhere to about 94% of capacity. We play to over 100% of capacity in the playoffs. The fact that going to games is tough is a function of the fact that the game's extremely popular, and our arenas only seat 18 to 20,000 people, and people want to buy up the tickets. There may be places where we could put teams that could be successful, but that's not something you do by taking franchises away from where they are. When you have a franchise and your fans, wherever the franchise is located, and your fans invest in the franchise emotionally and financially, you just don't give up on them when times get tough. If the standard was times get tough, we would have been out of Chicago, for Pete's sake, and look at what's going on there in terms of the revival. If we would have left when things got tough, we would have been out of Ottawa, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and they were all situations that were fixable. And so the way this is now being portrayed in some places by some people is somehow Phoenix doesn't deserve a franchise because they've had a tough time. I don't buy that for a minute. I think with good management, this franchise can be fine. But, you know, take it away and put it somewhere else. And if you don't do that, somehow you're anti-this or anti-that. And that's really just a crock, because this is preserving the relationship we have with our fans. And if at some point in time there are places that deserve a franchise and we are forced to relocate because we don't have a choice, or we decide it's time to expand, that's how you deal with these expressions of interest and trying to make the game more accessible to more people. But what you don't do is just abandon places to go somewhere else because somehow you think you have a divine right to a franchise in a particular place. This isn't about particular people or individuals. This is about a league structure and a covenant that every game has to have with its fans. Otherwise, you don't have the stability that you need to stay in business. And to portray this whole debate as anything else does a disservice not only to the game but to the fans of the game. And if I sound, I'm not sounding emotional, I may sound passionate.
Yeah, you
on
did.
The point. No, I'm passionate on the point. You know, I know people will point, for example, as we're going through this discussion, to Winnipeg and Quebec. Okay? And let me refresh people's recollections there. In both of those cities at the time, the buildings were old and antiquated, and the current owners of those franchises at the time didn't want to own them there anymore. And despite all of the efforts of everybody to find buyers for those franchises, couldn't find them.
To keep them there.
To keep them there, in part because I assume people didn't want to buy the franchises and keep them there, because there was no prospect of new buildings, and those teams couldn't survive in the buildings they were in. That's why the teams move. So when people say, oh, you let Winnipeg and Quebec move, different time, different circumstance. Brand new building in Phoenix. There are people there that are supportive of the franchise and want to keep it there. Phoenix is one of the fastest growing communities in North America in terms of people relocating and the like. and the team hasn't been particularly well run. It's fixable. But it's not even about Phoenix qua Phoenix, and it's not about Ontario qua Ontario. It's about how do you enter the league and how the league determines where its franchises are located. Let's go to our next caller, and that would be Jim in Washington, D.C. Hi, Jim. How are you? You're on with Bill and Gary.
Hi, Gary. I'm sorry, Gary. I'm remembering Gary Thorne, your partner on ESPN. This is an opportunity to compliment you on your work doing television for ESPN. I'm actually a Detroit Red Wings fan, and I loved watching the old Detroit-Colorado series. The point I want to ask about is, in regards to television, it's hard to find playoff games these days on a national, you know, in a national television venue. And this is also to the point of the last caller, how do you make the game more accessible to people? Okay. Pay-per-view is not accessible to a lot of people. I'm hoping there is a plan or a strategy to move towards a television contract that will at least have the playoffs televised nationally.
Versus televises the games nationally. It's accessible and available in 80 million homes. Go to Versus.com. They have a finder so you can locate where your satellite or cable provider, where you live, is carrying the game. Our ratings, people viewing the games, is at least comparable to what we were doing on ESPN, ESPN2. And, you know, I think people need to get over this business of having to be on ESPN because, frankly, you know, ESPN has everything, and we wouldn't be getting the breadth of coverage that we're getting from Versus in terms of the schedule, in terms of the pre- and post-game shows. Versus is doing a terrific job, and lots of people are finding it because our ratings are up like 30 or 40%, and as I said, the numbers are at least comparable to what we used to be doing with the other guys. So, you know, this knock on Versus is really, you know, it's yesterday's news. We've been there for 4 years. It's growing. It's getting... It is better. It's good. And you know what? I'm not going to apologize about Versus anymore. They're doing great. And all you got to do is spend 10 seconds to look for them, and you'll find them.
Agreed.
Let's go to Chris in North Carolina. You're on with Bill and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Commissioner Bettman, I think you don't have enough on your mind, so I thought I'd add a new one to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I am a 9-year season ticket holder with the Carolina Hurricanes. Absolutely love them.
And I owe you an All-Star game, and we will make good on it.
But what I do want to tell you is what is exciting is yesterday national news reported we're the number one fastest growing area in the nation.
Yes, you are.
Fastest city. And we built the convention center you asked us to build.
It's yes, you did.
And it's beautiful, and we have the hotels. So I'm going to be the ambassador to the city of Raleigh and push you into making a decision because I think we've made the commitment back to the NHL.
Yes, you have.
We love hockey.
Yes, you do.
And I'm going to get off the phone and hope you'll say a little bit more.
But by the way, thank you for being a longtime season ticket holder. I was in Carolina for a game, I think, 2 months ago. I went downtown and saw the convention center and RBC's new headquarters. And we know we owe you an All-Star game. And to be candid, we're a little backed up because the combination of losing a game for the Olympics and the work stoppage, we've got to get others who we owe games to as well. But the combination of new hotels in the area and the convention center, we know we owe a game, and one will be coming. I can't predict the date yet. We're not going to have an All-Star game again next year because of going to the Olympics and the Olympic break.
Where is it the year after the Olympics?
I don't think we announced it yet.
It has not been announced?
I don't think we've announced it yet, but we got a couple of cities that were in the queue before. Mm-hmm. Carolina was in the queue earlier, and then they didn't have the facilities. But Chris, the last caller, was absolutely right. We owe a game, and we'll be doing it. You know, I've mentioned this before. I remember the last Stanley Cup final when they won the cup in Carolina. Everybody in that building, which is as loud as any building in the league, stood for the entire Game 7. I mean, you never see that at a professional sporting event. It was incredible, the entire game. and the tailgating. I mean, they start tailgating there at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's just incredible. It's a great environment.
It even makes it even more amazing that they were able to stand up for the entire game.
Because that they had been
tailgating since 8 o'clock in the morning.
I got it.
Okay.
That's an interesting observation. Marcus in St. Paul, hopefully you have an interesting observation. It's Bill and Gary, and you're on Sirius XM.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
We're doing okay. What about you?
Well, I'm doing great. Just take a deep breath, Gary.
Okay.
And for Billy, you can't run anymore, partner. Take up swimming. It's very easy on the joints, and it's great cardio. Oh.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, if you can't run anymore. I run once in a while, but I can't stand it. It's just boring. Rather slap on the skates any day of the week. But I digress. The reason I really called is I've had an idea for your NHL website. But before I'll end with that, I'll give you a couple quick things rapid fire for you, Gary, because I can hear the anxiousness in your voice today.
No, actually, I'm not anxious at all. I've had a long day of meetings, and when I'm tied up the way I am all day, and there are 40 phone messages to return on my desk, I'm thinking about a lot of other things. But I'm actually pretty relaxed. I may be passionate about what I'm talking about, but I'm pretty relaxed.
Okay. Okay. First of all, for Versus. Versus does a great job, in my opinion, the before game, the after game, the during the game. Far outdoes anything ESPN ever did with it, except when Billy Clement was there still. Bill and Gary, you guys were a great team. And when you did the broadcast, that was when ESPN did hockey at its best. I didn't think it was as good when you weren't doing a game, Bill, but there's nothing wrong with the Versus product. I'll be watching it tonight. I'll be watching it tomorrow night and any night that NHL hockey's on it. It will be on in my home, probably on two or three sets. So I don't know what people's beef is with Versus either. It's out there, you know, and I'm finding that more cable providers are adding it all the time. Next, the Phoenix issue. I got a nephew there. I'm a guy who suffered through the loss of the North Stars. Started watching them as a teenager in 67. And, yes, Billy, I saw you play at the Met Center on several occasions in person.
All right.
But anyway.
So what about Phoenix?
Well, I got a nephew there. He was born in the Twin Cities, moved there when he was about three. He's 30 now. And one of his big things in life is that he didn't get to grow up in the hockey climate of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. There was no kid happier on earth than when the Coyotes came to town. He goes to the majority of their games, and he's going to be devastated if something happens there. But I think, Gary, you're well within your rights to protect the league's position as it pertains to their locations and where they should be. I think all this talk about a sale and uprooting them and taking them somewhere else is so premature, it's not funny. And frankly, Mr. Basile is showing a kind of a lack of respect for the league, for the fans, for the constitution of the league, and for the game itself with this game he's playing. You know, he might just be a good owner someday, but right now he's coming off as such a cowboy that if I was in your shoes, I don't know if I'd even want for him to be an owner.
The good news in that regard is I don't get a vote.
Well,
and by the way, I never personalize this because it's not personal. I think your comment in general about hockey in Phoenix obviously is one with which we agree, and I think you tend to represent what has been a silent majority on the point and on Versus as well. I think most people feel the way you do, that Versus does a good job. If you find them once, you'll find them again. And, you know, the ESPN has a lot of connections and a lot of fans and a lot of loyal followers. And, you know, my guess is, you know, it's easy for them to try and take shots at anything that isn't ESPN. But the fact of the matter is, on both counts, other than the personal stuff about Mr. Basile, because we don't need to discuss that. I think your remarks are bang on. And I guess my producer cut you off prematurely, and if you want to call back, you can do that, because I apologize. I didn't give a cutoff sign. We shouldn't be doing that, Mr. Baldinger. We don't cut off our callers. So let's go to Dave in Baltimore. You're on with Billy.
He just took up, though, 15% of the show with his question. Well, so, I mean, you know, we're trying to even it out a little bit in Dan's defense.
You know what? But people feel the need to express themselves. And when people call up and they hold on for 15 or 20 minutes, they have an opportunity to be heard.
Well, we hope his feelings aren't hurt. It was a great guy. Had everything figured out.
Well, if he wants
and
to
we're
going to
move
back.
On.
And if he wants to call back, you put him back through to me. Okay? And let's talk to Dave in Baltimore. Dave, you're on with Bill and Gary, and I'll try to keep their hands off the button so they don't cut you off.
I appreciate it. How you guys doing today?
We're okay.
We're good.
What's going on?
Question I have for you guys. I've been really excited about all the new rule changes. I've had a couple years to get used to them. One thing, I mean, we're in a non-traditional hockey market, so I really try to turn some new people into hockey and sit down and watch them and actually get their impressions from it. One of the biggest comments I get from people is the goalie no play zones in the corner, especially during the playoffs here. You know, people, you know, now Ovechkin's here in our market, and you know, people really get exposed to hockey. But it's interesting to see. I mean, people are puzzled as to these no play zones, and I understand the premise as to why they were put into play. But especially in the playoffs here, you watch and you see when the puck goes into the corner. I mean, the goalie. It's just really tentative, and it just really messes with the flow of the game. I don't know if you guys have had some talk about.
We've talked about
that.
It.
I mean, I've been in hockey my whole life, but looking at people who aren't normally exposed to hockey and see that part of the game, I mean, they're just puzzled. And they're just this is an unnecessary rule.
Well, you know, we think it's necessary, and we think it's helped improve the game the way it is because it's encouraging forechecking. It's keeping the goaltenders from acting as a third defenseman and moving the puck up ice. It's causing more play to be around the nets, which is what it was intended to do. You know, the ironic thing about it is I understand that some of our rules can be confusing, but that's not why you get rid of them. I can't tell you the number of people who go to their first hockey game and say, I don't understand the icing or the offsides.
Right.
And on that basis, I don't think we can be eliminating those either.
No, I don't think so. But looking, I mean, just looking at people's faces, you know, and I even feel that it stops, it sort of messes with the flow with it. I mean, nothing was more exciting.
Can I say this about the flow?
Sure.
I believe me, I watched a lot of hockey in the last 30 or 40 years. Who was counting, though? I believe that the no-play zones in the corner create more flow. If you go back and look at hockey before the work stoppage, when the no-play zones were not there, half of the teams in the league dumped the puck in and waited between the blue lines for the play to come back at them. And very often the game was played between the blue lines with nobody being able to get through that barrier. So there was no flow.
Well, I think
this creates flow.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, but that's when you had the red line in play. But I think when you would have more stick handler goaltenders, you have a chance to, like on a power play, or, you know, get that puck back up and, you know, create a little bit more speed.
Yeah,
just my impression.
You probably could, but boy, I love the forechecking.
But let you know what? The other way to look at this is we made a package of changes 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you guys did a great job.
Well, thank you. But the point was we didn't let the board or anybody pick them apart. It was a package. And what you're seeing on the ice now is a function of the interrelationship of all the rule changes put together and the officiating change in terms of the standard. And if you pull out one element, I don't think the whole package works as well. That was the theory behind it all coming together the way we did. In any event, thank you for calling in, though.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Let's take Dimitri in New York. You're on with Bill and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Let me just begin by saying that I'm a minority. I'm a double fan in New York, so we do exist. Bill, I hear your voice more a week than I do my mother because I'm addicted to that NHL 09. And the manager on the bench is, let's get another one. Let's get another one. That's all I hear all day.
How does your mother feel about that?
Well, she's not with me. She's not at the house. So, you know,
okay.
That's why I moved out, because she wanted to watch her television. We just button heads too much, so I had to move out.
Got it.
Yep, and Commissioner, I'd like to tip my hat to you. Just a quick observation. You know, you hear the fans calling in and giving the predictions as to what they think the games are going to end up at score-wise. If you would ask, you know, you get a lot of, you know, the answers like, oh, it'd be 5-4 or, you know, 6-5. If you ask that question to the same people, you know, 5 years ago, you'd get 2-1, 3-1. So the league's really done a bunch of wonderful things to make the game a lot more exciting. And as a hockey fan, I appreciate that. And what I would like to see is maybe another program like NHL Breakout to kind of foster that momentum or to keep the momentum in the urban markets where, you know, you have some youth that really don't get to see much of the game on a daily basis. So that's the first thing. And then as a Devils fan, I'd just like to make a comment to Brendan Shanahan. I think he's an amazing player. I think he plays with a lot of smarts and grit and determination. And, you know, I hope to see him for many years to come. And I tip my hat to Lou Lamoriello, too, as a Devils fan, because, you know, there are teams out there that are fighting tooth and nail over Matt Sundin. Lou Lamoriello does the wonderful thing, you know, his classic move, and he goes ahead and kind of flies under the you know, the radar and picks up Brendan Shanahan, and boy, did that guy bring it during the playoffs. And if everybody on the double team brought that kind of determination and grit, we would still be in the race.
Hey, let me ask you a question, sure. And I understand both of your points. Brendan's not here yet, but we'll convey your regards. You live in New York. How did you get to be a Devils fan?
To be honest with you, I started. It was a freak occurrence. You guys were on network television back. I can't remember. It was a game. I remember seeing the red and green jerseys, and there was a kid around the corner from me that was a Ranger fan. So, you know, I just to be different, I went with the Devils, and I started. I've been following them ever since.
How do you like the Rock?
I don't. It's a beautiful building. I tell you, I am blown away. There's not a bad seat on the ice. It was very well thought out. It's beautiful, you know. And I do live on the island, so I do get to go to the Coliseum. It's night and day. And you know, I'm not an Islander fan, but I'd love to see them work something out where we can keep the team on the island. Because unfortunately, if we do lose a team out here, I don't think this marketplace gets a second look. You know, so I hope they do the right thing, you know, for the Islander fans and for hockey in general in this area. Because you know, we need all. We have great momentum now. I'll let the Seas keep it.
And nobody ever likes to lose a team. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Randolph in Pittsburgh, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Well, hey, I really appreciate it. What an honor to be able to speak with you today. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for calling.
Excellent. Hey, I have a rule change that I would like to see implemented or at least discussed. And what the reason for the rule is to eliminate the competitive advantage of taking a penalty late in the game. In the context of the rule, all the minutia is solved, so the wording is very careful. I believe that the game should not end where the losing team is on a power play. I think that team, it's unfortunate that with 30 seconds to go, the winning team, you know, stops a breakaway or a potential breakaway and, you know, puts the losing team on a shortened power play. I think the game should continue to allow for the full power play or at least given the option of a penalty shot instead of the abbreviated power play. And, I thank you for everything you do, Mr. Commissioner, and I'll hang up and listen from here.
You know, of all the things I've ever heard suggested, I've never heard that one. So, in other words, it's kind of like in soccer when I always have trouble following this, the time of the game mysteriously gets extended and you don't know when the game's actually over, how much time's left.
Injury time.
So the notion is if you commit a penalty and you get an opportunity, if you commit a penalty, the other team gets an opportunity to fulfill the power play. One of the closest thing I've heard suggested to that is if you commit a penalty during the overtime, this is during the regular season, obviously, you shouldn't be allowed to participate in the shootout.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't heard this one.
That's interesting. Obviously, if the game is tied, that power play would continue into overtime. It's interesting. If the game's 5-1, who cares? But I mean, if the game is contested or within a goal and there's a penalty that's within less than 2 minutes to the end of the game, give them the 2-minute power play and extend the game.
Although that would only apply in the playoffs. The only thing that would apply in the regular season, because we have a winner or loser in every game, no more ties, would be the rule that I just referred to, if we adopted it, that said if you committed a penalty and it hasn't expired, the game regulation and the overtime period's over, you can't participate in the shootout.
Right, but what happens at the end of regulation? Let's say the score is 3-2. The team that has two ends up on a 30-second power play because an infraction happens.
Well, but we give the advantage into overtime, so the only question.
But there is no overtime if it's 3-2.
That's correct.
If the score is 3-2.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
So, in other words, that team.
You've obviously thought this through better than I have.
Well, just there is some merit to it.
I made a note of it.
You know, let's say 15 seconds to go and somebody just chops somebody down.
With a one-goal differential?
Yeah, with a one-goal differential.
I'm going to raise it with the general managers.
Okay.
Sounds good. I think they want us to take a break. Do you want to take us out?
Yeah, let's do that. We're going to step out. The NHL Hour will continue. We appreciate your patience. We're still waiting on Brendan Shanahan. He's supposed to show up and be here in the studio with us. So we hope that happens, and we hope that you line up in the queue. 877-645-6696. Back with more NHL Hour after this.
This is Mark Hamburger of the New Jersey Devils. You're listening to NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman with Bill Clement.
And scouts poised to reel Shanny in off the street when he arrives.
You know, he lives in New York. He knows his way around the city. I hope nothing's happened to him.
And he's usually extremely punctual.
Yes, he is. He's very reliable. My guess is somebody here gave him the wrong time.
Oh. Dan?
Dan or Greg. I'm not going to play Frank. Or maybe he's stuck in traffic or the subway. But, you know, we'll take him whenever he gets here. But nobody knows where he is. I see a lot of people shrugging their shoulders and raising their hands.
Well,
I see NHL security is out trying to hunt him down. You know, they always get their man.
In about 5 minutes, we're going to take a Brendan Shanahan facsimile and drag him off the street.
The NHL security is like the RCMP. They always get their man.
Yeah. There you go. So you know that motto.
Of course.
Rob Simpson and I did the show, and his team was something to do with, the in-house team. What was that? What was the name of their Mountie was their mascot?
What are you talking about?
This NHL office.
What are you talking about?
He didn't know. Rob Simpson didn't know the Royal Canadian Mounted Police motto. So
he's here?
Yes.
Oh, so we have to stretch. Okay, so.
Okay, you touch your toes and I'll just put my arms over my head.
He's in the story. The eagle has landed.
Okay, not that kind of stretch.
No. They want us to banter with interesting rapport and entertainment. Where is he? I don't see him.
No, he's coming up. And
he's
coming
up the stairs?
And we got to tell him that the team fines him $50 for being late. Come on.
No, we don't fine Brendan. Brendan's a good guy. Hello, Brendan. How are you? Bill Clement. Shanny,
I said, we fine you $50, man. You're late, you know. This team's
I was just
fine.
Walking down the street minding my own business, and two guys from NHL security jumped me.
So that's what I was telling everybody. They're like the RCMP. They always get their man.
And I said, come on, I just want to go to the park. It's beautiful. Forget it. Forget the radio today.
No,
I'm joking.
I know you are. It's good to see you. How
good
are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
How you
good.
Feel?
I feel great. I would... you know, no offense, but I'd much rather on the years when my team loses in the first round, they just cancel the whole Stanley Cup thing, and so I don't have to watch for the next 2 months, because as great as the hockey's been, it still sort of hurts.
Yeah,
but
no kidding.
Talking about hurting, before when we took the air, we were talking about how injured many of your colleagues are in the course of the playoffs and playing, you know, with broken bones and pain. How long does it take you both emotionally and physically to recover at the end of the season?
Well, I just think it depends on the season. I mean, I think that, and it depends how long you've played. I think that emotionally, you figure things out after playing a certain while. It's almost like when you're in a game and you're in a playoff series and you have a difficult loss, you say, let's forget about that and shake that one off. And it's similar sometimes in the summertime. If you're going to use it to motivate you and to push you and to train harder and to come back more prepared, then that's great. But if you're walking around in a funk for 3, 4, 5 weeks, pouting, then you're not improving your chances of getting ready for next year.
Now, you don't strike me as a pouter, but I'm sure you've had teammates that have pouted.
Well, I've had some summers where I literally have nightmares over our loss or the way we lost or missed opportunities. And you just can't shake it. Rationally, you're saying, we did our best or, nothing I can do about it now. But sometimes you literally just have nightmares.
How about this year?
I was about to say, but, that was the lead up to the question. But that was cruel of you to ask.
I watched in disbelief. I can only imagine what you were feeling.
It seemed to be a very un-Devils-like way to conclude the season.
It was, but you know what? I think in hindsight, when I look back on that game seven, I would have been more disappointed. I think that I would have more nightmares if we came out flat or if we came out unprepared or if we came out sort of afraid of the stage that we're stepping on. But instead, we had a great game. I felt that we dominated. We had pretty much 58 and a half minutes of perfect game seven hockey, and then the hockey gods sort of played a trick on us. So are there things we could have done better in that last minute and a half? Sure, but I think that that part hurts. That part definitely stings to see Carolina now advancing, and we knew they were a good team, but we felt that we were better. But I think that it would bother me more and hurt me more if we came out in that game seven and just didn't show up. Not a knock against Washington, but I think that the way they lost Game 7 is probably a lot harder for them to take than the way we lost Game 7, even though our loss was maybe more dramatic.
Interesting. You're 40 years old. Are you done? You're coming back.
I always sort of go through the same process at the end of every year just to make sure that I'm making the right decision. The way I felt this year, the way I played, my contributions on the ice, the way I feel physically now, the way I felt physically on the ice, all indications are that I'm probably going to play. But I still think that it's smart and it's safe to start training, start preparing for the next year to make sure that when I do make that decision and that commitment, that I'm not questioning it. And I know that I'm going to a team having made the right decision.
Have you given any thought in terms of what you would do once you stop playing?
I have, it's impossible not to. I think that there have been, not starting the season gave me a little bit of a glimpse into life after hockey. And I think that I'm excited about some of the different opportunities that are available in hockey. And the one I'm most excited about right now and the one I'm most passionate about right now is playing. And I have that passion. I'm a physically gifted man, so I'm going to play. as far as post career,
that's good information. By the way,
we're not laughing at the fact that you may be physically gifted. It's the way you suggested.
It's probably more verbally gifted, but no,
it all counts.
I think hockey is a great culture, and I think that there are, to see a lot of former players go on and have great lives after hockey is inspiring.
The way the hockey's being played now, the last few seasons since the work stoppage, you were an important part of that as one of the first members of the competition committee when all these rule changes were made. Talk a little bit about what you remember about that process and how we got the game to where it is, and how the game has changed in the 20 or so years that you've been playing it at the NHL level.
Right. Well, I think the game will always change. It's always going to evolve. There will always be things we really like about it and things that we feel need to be improved. But I do think with the competition committee, we've got a great way to communicate what those playing the game and those watching and making decisions on the game and who have a great knowledge and experience with the game. It's a great forum for them to sort of come to decisions that are good for hockey. And I really think that hockey is being played really well right now. It's an exciting game, and as much as it hurts sometimes to watch the playoff games, I can't pull myself away from them. They're just so good. And I was thinking about it actually yesterday. I was really pleased, and I remember coming out when we started with the new rules, coming out of the work stoppage saying, I can't wait till they stop calling it the new NHL, you know, these new rules. And now you're seeing players that are that have been playing with these rules from the time they were 12, 13, 14 years old. So they're stepping into the NHL, and there's less of a learning curve. They're really adding to the game. They're really exciting to watch. All you have to do is turn on the NHL channel and watch a vintage game from 10 years ago, and the hooking and holding that's going on is atrocious. And, you know, it's just a great game right now.
When the competition committee was doing its work, the package of rules really interwoven with each other. We had a caller before questioning why the goaltender can't touch the puck in the corners. He thinks it disrupts flow. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of insight as to how it all came together?
Well, it's true that every time we came up with a new rule, we would brainstorm and say, okay, what could be the negative impact on this aspect? And so sometimes some of these rules that you'd say, like, why did you put that in? It seems insignificant. It might impact three other rules that this caller maybe really likes. And I can't say specifically which ones, but I do think that, you know, each rule was not just on its own. Each rule, we felt, enhanced two or three other ones by themselves.
How long did you think it was going to take the players and the officials to adjust? Because we're 4 years in, and I agree with your point. It's not the new NHL. It's fully adjusted, and nobody's focusing on how to adjust to the standard. Did we as a league, you as the players, the officials, adapt faster, slower than you would have thought?
I think it's been faster. You know, I was the guy, certainly one of the guys on the committee that, you know, I used to say that after a game, if somebody was upset with the new rules, if there was a player that didn't like the new rules, he was waiting for me in the hallway to express it. You know, but for every one player that I also discovered that if somebody likes the new rules, they don't wait around the hallway. They just go get on the bus and go home. They don't wait around to tell you that they like it. But
it's the silent majority.
Yeah. But, you know, that being said, I think that it was important to listen and respect and hear some of the veterans who maybe were having a tough time with the new rules or maybe some things needed to be tweaked. It's happened a lot sooner than I thought. I think that, you know, it would be really hard to find any rational NHL player right now that thinks it should go back to the way it was. We're always going to have complaints. I mean, sometimes there'll be a bad call in a game. I mean, there's bad calls in NFL games, NBA games, Major League Baseball, but there'll be a bad call in hockey. And I sometimes say, do you think that there wasn't, like, you know, Bill, was there any bad calls in the 70s? Did you guys always say the referees did a great job?
Not so much.
Right. So it's human nature to be passionate about your sport, whether you're a player or a fan, and to question. I think our officials are doing a great job, and I guess the short answer to your question is I think it's come along a lot quicker.
Who do you like getting out of the conference finals and into the Stanley Cup final if you were prognosticating?
I guess if I had to guess, I would probably lean toward a repeat of last year's final. I think, and that's not a knock on the other teams. I'm actually a big fan of the way Chicago's been playing. There's a young guy on Chicago, David Boland, who's from Mimico. So I've sort of taken on David and his team as the group that I'm rooting for this year, although I've got a lot of friends still in Detroit. So I just feel that in the end, Detroit's experience is going to get them out of that series. I don't think they're out of it yet. I think that Chicago's going to make a big push at home and make things interesting, but I think Detroit's poise will come through. And then it seems to me that Sydney is on a bit of a mission here. And Carolina might be a little banged up, and it seems to me that Pittsburgh is getting better as they're going along, and Sydney just seems to have his eyes on the Stanley Cup.
Does that mean Pittsburgh takes it all?
It might be the year that Pittsburgh, you know, coming back against Detroit overtakes them. And they're going to need a big, big effort from their goalie, from Fleury. And, Crosby, if he keeps playing the way he is, and Malkin shows up to this year's playoffs with a little bit more confidence and a little less stage struck, then I think that they've got a good chance. If any team has a good chance to beat Detroit, it could be Pittsburgh. But, again, You can just never, ever discount it this time of the year. Maybe it's because I'm 40 years old, but I think experience really, really helps.
We're talking to Brendan Shanahan. You were with Detroit for 9 years. What makes that franchise so special? What makes Hockey Town, Hockey Town?
Well, I think that it's, you know, it starts with your best players and your superstars. And when you look at guys like Gordie Howe and Ted Lindsay and Steve Yzerman, they start something, a legacy of, you know, this is about the team. This is about making sacrifices for the team. And so now you're looking at players like Nick Lidstrom, Zetterberg, Datsyuk. You know, you look at Zetterberg and Datsyuk, two of the best offensive players in the NHL, and I think they were both nominated for best defensive player in the league. So there's just been a tradition, although sometimes Mike Babcock likes to think that he invented good hockey in Detroit, there's been a tradition. there's been a tradition in Detroit, starting with Scotty Bowman, of puck control and sacrificing personal stats for team success.
We get lots of calls from people who have ideas to change rules that we've never even thought of. As you sit here today, if you could change any one rule, and you don't have to, but if you could, which one would you change?
Tweak, modify,
or leave it alone?
Well, I haven't given it enough thought to really. So the one little tweak that comes to mind, in this year's playoffs, and I think if you talk to a lot of coaches, they really despise, in a good way, the effectiveness of when your team ices the puck, you're not allowed to make a line change. I think that all coaches and commentators and hockey people agree that that has become a surprisingly effective play that sometimes changes the result of a hockey game.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to tweak it by saying if you have an intentional offside, you know, now that might just be one small, it seems like a small thing right now, the same way we said, hey, if you ice the puck, you can't make a line change. Everyone went, okay, what's next?
Well, but that was also consistent with shooting the puck out for delay of game as well.
Absolutely. And, but I think that I guess it's in the theme of less opportunity for coaches to control a game and to get the matchups they like. I think when you don't have the matchups that the coaches have spent weeks preparing for, suddenly on the ice together, that's when you get unpredictable hockey. And so I would add intentional offsides to icing where you can't make a line change.
Okay. Are we going to step out or are we going to jump into...
They're telling us to step out much as we'd like to keep talking to Brendan.
We're not done, are we?
Brendan can stay.
Oh, good. All right. We're going to come back then. All right. The NHL Hour will plow forward right after this. Get out. Get back.
Hi, this is Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman, Bill Clement, and our special guest in studio, Brendan Shanahan. I want to apologize to the callers who have been on hold, but Brendan's been a terrific guest, and I don't want to give him up. Bill and I were talking at the start of the show about how old we are, 40 years old. Is the season more of a grind and an ordeal when, as you get older, how quickly do you recover between games? Does the red eye, you know, cause you to be a little more cranky than you used to be when you were in your 20s?
Definitely. And I think playing in the East really helps with that. And but I think that you just make adjustments to your training. And I have. And like I said, I felt great this year.
And what's a typical day off for you during the season and during the summer?
Typically, it's taking my kids to school, picking them up if I have time, and like most dads and moms in America, shuttling them off to their sports practices and enjoying watching them play.
Brendan, thank you. Good luck, and we certainly hope you're coming back next year.
Yep, you bet, Shanny. Enjoy your hockey tonight, everybody. Game 2, Carolina and Pittsburgh. Game 3 tomorrow night, Detroit and Chicago. Rossi and Espo are in the slot next. We'll see you next Thursday at 4 Eastern for more NHL Hour.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.